He knows the struggles that you're going through. He knows the things that you can't stop doing. You know, before I committed myself to the Lord wholly, because, you know, we have those times that we kind of play with God. You know, you feel the anointing, you feel the presence of God, and then you, oh, yes, you're so weeping. Yes, Lord, I accept you. And then when you go home, it's a whole other thing. You turn on the same junk you left off earlier. And then you sit and watching that filth. And then you go to the movies, you know, yeah, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. Let me tell you something. There's a standard by which God wants us to live by. You know, in the natural, there's a standard that the government uses for our money, for our finances. There's a standard of gold. There's a weight. It holds value. It holds significance. And other countries that we deal with recognize that gold authority. Listen to what I'm saying. There's a standard in the spirit that God holds each and every one of us up to. And sometimes we say things foolishly. Paul talks about foolish jesting. Paul talks about listening to fables. Paul talks about enticing women, men using sleight of hand, being cunning, and leading captive silly women laden with divers sins and divers lusts. You know, there are certain lusts that's going on in the body of Christ that God's getting ready to put an end to. He's stopping it. There's certain things that we do behind closed doors that God's putting an end to it, because he's going to put his hand on it with you at home secretly to give you a chance to repent. Let me reverse this. We're going to reverse, okay? He's going to put his hand on it so that we all can repent. Let's do it that way. So that we can repent and that we can change. Because, see, God is looking for an upright, holy people. And there's a standard. See, there's a shifting taking place right now in the spirit. It's taking place right now. And that shifting that's taking place, that God is aligning us into a new place. And that alignment is, you know, somebody comes out with a plumb line when you're ready to build a building. And when they do, and they line up everything, they make sure that you're not on somebody else's property. They make sure that everything is up to code so that someone, an inspector, won't come out later and give you a fine because you're not doing what you said you were going to do on the property. Everything is done, say, decently and in order. The Holy Spirit is the plumb line of heaven. And the Word of God is the instruction manual. And the Holy Spirit is going to go forth and initiate that we come up to code, that we come up to spiritual code, and we follow the guidelines of the Word, because that is his positioning to lead you. Let's read it. I love to see things in print anyway. Let's go over to verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, what? Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? He's talking to us. He's talking to the believer. He's not talking to someone outside of the body of Christ. He's talking to us. And greater works than ye shall do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. What did we say earlier? As you speak what he says, he's going to do it for you. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm going to repeat myself because I want you to get it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not trying to pull the rug out from under you. I'm not going to make you look foolish. If you take that step of faith, Pastor, I see you speaking some things that need to be done. I see you speaking finances in. And I see God bringing things in that shift. That's part of your shift, that you speak things in the spirit, and you see it coming. And some people are going to say, Pastor, can you believe it? You're going to already know because you've already been attuned with God. And you're going to say, isn't it awesome? And you say, God, what else can we do? Because, see, if you stand and you believe God for this area, which I'm sure you have, God will give you what you speak. God will give. There are men standing in pulpits who are dealing unjustly with the things of God and with the finances of the kingdom. And God is looking for men of integrity, of wholeness of heart, to change that situation. And there are people who are going to them by the millions because they are permissible. Anything goes in their church. They allow anything to go on. And they don't want the move of the Spirit. Everything that looks like, quacks like, and goes through the motion like, it's not always the real thing. There's a lot of imitation out there. And every time we see something that looks like the Spirit of God, because the enemy can imitate, say imitate. That's why it's very important. The word says to walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because when you walk in the spirit, God's going to show you where he is and he's going to show you where he is not. And I guarantee you, you better stay here because it's about to be moved. God's going to do something here. But there are those of you, how many intercessors are in the house? Stand up. Intercessors. Not just that you pray, I'm saying intercessors. Intercessors. Nobody on this side. Intercessors. If you're embarrassed, I'll close my eyes. Intercessors. There are more of you out there. I might share with you a little bit about that tonight. It means waiting before him for hours. Not for a few minutes, when you are about your business. Paul said, I pray in the spirit, you may be seated, and I pray with the understanding also. I sing in the spirit, I sing with the understanding also. My understanding is null and void, but the Holy Spirit will illuminate, give me revelation knowledge, give me understanding, because things should be changed in the atmosphere of this church. As the intercessors get together and call upon the name of the Lord, then there will be people who are saved, who are delivered, who are set free, not just outside the house. Let's move on. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you a what? Another comforter, that he may abide with you, how long?
Forever.
Ooh, even the spirit of truth. Hallelujah. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I and my Father are, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself in him. You know, sometimes we see ourselves as unlovable. You read that portion of scripture, that's enough to make you know that it doesn't matter who rejects you in the natural, he loves you. If he's accepted you, he's already made a way of escape for you. If he's accepted you, he's chosen you. The word says you are been accepted in the beloved. And Judas saith to him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus saith unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make him his abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, how? In my name. He will represent me. He's going to testify of me. That's how you'll be able to confirm that it's my spirit. He shall teach you, reveal to you, unveil to you, expose to you some things. Amen? Everything. It doesn't matter what natural knowledge you have. That's what I love about the Holy Spirit. He can't care less about your education. He's glad you have one. But let me tell you something. I've heard people speak prophetically, had no education at all, and they spoke eloquently under the anointing. But outside of the anointing, you could tell they had no education. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost is awesome. He can give you revelation in areas that you know nothing about. I've seen people that have no type of education as far as construction, but the Holy Spirit enlightens their understanding, and they're able to do things that amaze other people who were skilled in engineering. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things. But the key to the beginning of that is you have to love him. The key to the beginning of that, you have to be confident in me. You have to abide in me. You have to trust me. You have to rely on me. You know, the Amplified goes into detail. Rely on, trust on, have confidence in. That's what Jesus is saying. You have to rely on me. Not on what you can do for yourself. Not on that job, because we found in America that jobs are what? Temporal. They're not here to last. So if that job isn't functioning, I still rely on him because he is my source. He is the one that causes his word to be activated on the inside of me and produces his goodwill through me. Say, he produces his goodwill through me. So when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead me and guide me into all truth and bring all things to what? Your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Whatever I spoke to you, where? In the word. Whatever I spoke to you in your prayer time. Whatever I spoke to you even years ago that you haven't seen manifested as of yet, at the appointed time, I'll have the Holy Spirit remind you of it. At that appointed time, because that's the time I'm ready for you to step into it. Because all that aggravation you went through, all that nonsense you went through, was preparing you for this moment in time. Say, this moment in time. See, sometimes you go through so much foolishness, you go through so much nonsense, it's like you're hitting your head up against the wall. Lord, Paul said what? When I would do good, what? Evil is waiting at the door. It's waiting out there to overtake me again. What am I supposed to do? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead you and guide you in all truth. What? He's going to make a way of escape for you. He's going to show you how to overcome. And a lot of our battles are where? Here. So we need to rehearse the word. The Lord, you said that you were my very present help. That means right now in this moment of time. And if you've got to say it again in 10 minutes, say it again in 10 minutes until it is done, it is finished, it is over. Because God wants to be your help. And when you begin to declare that word out of your mouth, what did I say? Heaven recognizes it and hell recognizes it. And heaven will send you that help because the help is on the inside of you, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Stand to your feet. Sister, would you come back again for me? I just felt this morning to give you an introduction. And we'll complete it tonight. I'm going to ask everyone to close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes. I find a lot of times when you look around, you become self-conscious and you wonder who's watching and who's listening. Play that again for me, please. Just softly. It's a time of change. You know, there's a resistance that we've built up. We want God's help. We want God's deliverance. But we don't want God to pry but so far. We don't want him to dig but so deep. Anyone knows that when you're digging a well, you've got to go deep to dig that well, to get the real treasure that lies beneath. And I don't care what you've gone through yesterday, there are treasures on the inside of you. There are good things God put on the inside. There is potential for great success on the inside of you. And there's a counsel that God wants to give us and to speak to us to change the way we see ourselves. But if we begin to look at him and begin to look through his eyes, we'll begin to see ourselves differently. And we begin to rely on the Holy Spirit, we'll begin to hear differently. And I guarantee you'll begin to respond to things differently. So that those same things that aggravated you, that tested, that tried your patience, you're going to find that you have a peace that passes all understanding. And you're not going to exert every bit of energy you have to fight it. But you're going to command it in the name of Jesus. I command every tormenting spirit to be silent in Jesus' name. For I have the peace of God that abideth on the inside of me. There's a new hope that God wants to release to you today. if you know the Holy Spirit speaking to you right where you are. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat. Don't look at anybody else. Don't wait for anybody else. You come. You come. Fear is a strong and intimidating thing. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I come to set you free. Hallelujah. One more time. When I pray for these, I'm done. Ooh, 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 ooh. Somebody's been having problems with your heart, palpitations, I want you to come. I want you to hear this. This is what I hear the Holy Spirit saying to you. Some of you need healing. You need to come. Oh, come. Who's that with the heart palpitations? Oh, come. Let me heal you. There's a man, too. Oh, come. Besides your husband. Oh, come. Let me. Those of you at the altar, lift your hands. Heal. Some broken areas. Oh, come. Oh, come. Let me heal. with you? I want him to come up here. Call him up for me. What's his name? Henry? Come on. You knew I was talking about you. You heard me. Come on. Oh, come. I was watching you the whole time I was ministering, watching you and Henry back there. Come on, stand with her, Henry. Come. Hold hands for me.
Oh, come. Let me heal your wounded heart. Oh, come. Oh, come, let me give you a new start. I have not turned away.